Not that. That's it. And you can keep it up there. Can you keep it about 5 minutes, yeah? That'll be all right. So they found the stone and they rolled it away from the tomb. But when they entered, they couldn't find the body of Jesus. So we got the spices and we got the stone. Okay, what have we got next? The torch. Who's got the torch? Fantastic. Hold the torch up, okay? It's the next part of the story. While they were wondering about what was going on with the stone that had been rolled away, they saw two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning. So we've got a bit of light here, haven't we? Shine the light around, just shake it around a little bit, that's it. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why are you looking for the living among the dead?" So we've got the spices and the stone and the torch. So that's how the story continues. It's got a notebook. Notebook, hold it up, that's it. Notebook's a very helpful way of remembering things. If you're like me and you forget, it's good to write things down, isn't it? So here's the next part of the story that says, he's not here, he's risen. Remember how Jesus told you he was with you in Galilee. And then they remembered his words. I don't know if they wrote them down or not, but the notebook helps us to remember that bit of the story. So what's next in the story? Let's see if we can see what's on the screen behind us. What have we got? The cloths. Oh, yes. Are you going to hold them up? We did find them eventually, didn't we? They were well hidden, those ones. And they remind us of the part in the story where the disciples came back to the tomb and they ran to the tomb. And the next part of the story says to us they found just these strips of linen. They were sort of all lying by themselves. There was no sign of Jesus. The stone was rolled away from the tomb and the cloth that they'd used to wrap his body in was just lying there and Jesus was gone. So what happened next? Who's got the padlock? Oh, hold the padlock up. That's an important part of the story, this one, because this is the part of the story where Jesus appears again from the dead. And here is the part of the story which is really exciting. It says that on the first day of the week when the disciples were together and the doors were locked, big padlock, there we are, that's a lock, and Jesus came and he stood among them because he had risen from the dead. And the disciples, we're told at the end of this story, were just so excited when they saw that Jesus was alive. So thank you for your help. I'm going to reward you. Would you like the reward?
Yeah.
Of course you would, for helping me out this morning. Well, it's not Easter, so we can't do Easter eggs, can we? Even though it's the Easter story, but we could do chocolate, I reckon. Yay! Well worth helping out in these services, isn't it? There we go. I need 3 more volunteers who haven't helped me this morning. Who's going to come up and help me? Come on, up you come. The story is so important. It actually changes everything. So I've got some envelopes here that we're going to open. Because these, what you'll find in here, you guys are going to share that between you and open it, okay? And that's number 2 and that's number 3. Do you want to open number 1? I want to show you this morning why the Easter story changes everything. And why we come to communion, why it's communion is so important. So maybe you can start ripping these ones open as well, and then we can have a look at them very quickly, because we're going to sing another song in a minute. Okay, pull out the first one. Let's have a look at it. That's fine, don't worry about that. Let's open it up. And what does it say? We've got a picture on the front. Turn the picture around first of all, this one. Thank you very much. And it says, "I am the resurrection and the life." What does it say on the back of it? Easter Day proves that death is not the end. Now, it says Easter changes everything, doesn't it? And one of the great things that we learn about Easter, because Jesus is alive, that's what the Bible says. So you mustn't keep carrying on like people who have nothing to look forward to, as if the grave has the last word. It says Jesus died, broke loose from the grave, and that means that God will bring to life those who died in Jesus. So Easter Day proves to us that death is not the end. Now, what's in envelope number 2? Let's see the second thing that we can learn from this. What have we got on that? What is that? Picture of a cross, okay. And what does it say on the back of that? I know they're printed upside down. It makes it really complicated, doesn't it, to read it. Doesn't help. What does it say here? It says, Easter Day proves, you're going to hold that up for me, that the cross has worked. Don't worry about the envelope. That's a second great thing about Easter Day, isn't it? Here's what it says on the screen, and this is Peter writing this. Peter knew what it was like to fail Jesus. He had a fairly spectacular failure in his life, but he understood that Easter Day proves to us that the cross has worked. It says Christ died for sins once for all. There's another one. Let's have a look at this last one. What have we got in here? What's that? A passport. And a passport helps us, doesn't it, to prove who we are. Do you often get asked for identification? And sometimes the only piece of identification that people will accept to prove who you are is a passport. But Jesus didn't have a passport, did he? Not that we know of, anyway. So let's turn it over. It says Easter Day proves Jesus' identity. Let's put it up on the screen. And here we are. Jesus proved his identity by saying, this is what's going to happen. I'm going to die and I'm going to rise again from the dead. And he says, if you believe that, he says, then that will be a pointer as to who I am. That's exactly what happens. So Easter Day proves Jesus' identity. It proves that the cross has worked. And it proves that death is not the end. I reckon that's worth singing about, isn't it? So we're going to stand and sing In Christ Alone. And we've got some sheets for some of the younger children to do together. So I think Phil is going to hand it for us. We're going to read it from a different version this morning. So I'm going to put the words on the screen, because sometimes when we read something perhaps that we're familiar with, we miss what it's saying to us. So we're going to read it this morning in a different version. Pam's going to very helpfully come and read this for us. Aren't you, Pam? Excellent. It comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and we're going to read it this morning from the Message. It's a lovely contemporary translation of the Bible. Thanks, Pam.
Let me go over with you again exactly what goes on in the Lord's Supper and why it is so centrally important. I received my instructions from the Master himself and pass them on to you. The Master Jesus, on the night of his betrayal, took bread. Having given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, broken for you. Do this to remember me." After supper, he did the same thing with the cup. "This cup is my blood, my new covenant with you. Each time you drink this cup, remember me." What you must solemnly realize is that every time you eat this bread and every time you drink this cup, you reenact in your words and actions the death of the Master. You will be drawn back to this meal again and again until the Master returns. You must never let familiarity breed contempt.
Pam, thank you so much. Well, we're just going to take just a couple of minutes before we come to communion this morning to just see what that says to us about the importance of taking bread and wine together this morning. So important things that we really need to be aware of, and it's helpful for us as all ages really to look at this together, because here's the first thing that Paul is saying as he's writing to Christians in the church in Corinth. He's saying this meal, this very simple little meal, is to be taken seriously. And this is what he says, Pam's just read it to us, what you must solemnly recognize that every time you eat this bread and every time you drink this cup, you react in your words the death of Jesus. So we've got to take it seriously and solemnly. Sometimes we don't celebrate enough when it comes to communion. Now Andrew Croson often says to me, celebrate more when it comes to communion, be more joyful. And you know what, he's right. Because what are we celebrating? Death's not the end. That Jesus is who he said he was. And that the cross has worked. That's worth celebrating and excited about. Paul says you must also take this seriously when you come to take bread and wine. And one of the things that we do, and we're encouraged to do when we take bread and wine like this, is just to take a little look inside and say, how is my relationship with God? Am I living in a way that is pleasing to God? Good question to ask when we come to communion. Am I living in a way that is pleasing to God? A meal that's to be taken seriously. Here's the second thing that Paul is saying in this passage. He's saying it's a meal that brings people together. It's a meal that we share with each other. When this meal was originally given to us by Jesus, it was often done in people's homes, not like we're doing it this morning. And sometimes towards the end of a meal, you would take bread or you would take wine, and perhaps just for a few minutes, perhaps even in your family home, you remember the words of Jesus. And here's what Paul says. I want to go over with you again exactly what happens in the Lord's Supper and why it's so important. He says, I got these instructions from Jesus. himself, with a meal that we share together. And because it's the meal that we share together, it's good for us to stop and ask ourselves another question. How is my relationship with people in my church family? Have I fallen out with somebody? Have I had an argument with somebody? Is there a division that has happened because of something they have said or I have said? Because Paul wrote this letter to the church in Corinth because there were divisions in the church. And what was happening is really quite sad. The rich people were kind of taking all of the good food for themselves, and the poor people were getting the leftovers. Paul says, that's not how you're to celebrate this special meal. It's to be shared equally amongst everybody. And so that's the second thing that we need to realize as we come in a minute to take the bread and the wine. This is a meal that we share together. So we ask ourselves the question, are there any divisions between us? Have I fallen out with somebody? How is my relationship with people within my church family? And here's the third thing that we need to realize. It's a meal that helps us to remember the death of Jesus. And that brings us right to the very heart of this meal. And here's what Paul says. He says, on the night of his betrayal, Jesus, this is what happened. Jesus, he took the bread and he gave thanks and he broke it. And then he said, do this so that you don't forget. Do this so that you remember. And he went on and he took the cup at the end of the meal and he said, also, this cup is my blood, the new covenant with you. Each time you drink this cup, remember me. So these are important things for us to think about as we come to take communion together in a few minutes, as we shall do. It's a meal that we take seriously. It allows us to think about our relationship with God. It's a meal that we share together, which means that we think about our relationships with one another. And it's a meal to remember Jesus' death and resurrection. We're going to do that in just a few minutes. Is that we say sorry to God for the things that we've done wrong. We think about our relationship with God. We think about our relationships with each other. And here's some words that we're going to use this morning, which we can use to say sorry to God. I want to encourage you to say these words are in the bottom of each of these screens. In your mercy, Lord, forgive us. As we look at the cross, it's through the cross that we have been forgiven. So let's use these words. So for the actions which have angered you, we are truly sorry. In your mercy, Lord, forgive us. For actions which have angered you, we are truly sorry. In your mercy, Lord, forgive us. For the words that have wounded you and others, we are truly sorry. In your mercy, Lord, forgive us. For the thoughts which have betrayed you, we are truly sorry. In your mercy, Lord, forgive us. For the failures which have let you down, we are truly sorry. In your mercy, Lord, forgive us. Amen. And then one of the things that we do at communion is we say thank you to God for this remarkable gift. So Andrew's going to come and pray. Who's praying? Clara's going to come and pray. A prayer of thank you to God. You want to come to the lectern, Clara? Thank you to God for the bread, for the wine, and for what they mean to us this morning. Thanks, Clara.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this picture of bread, which reminds us of Jesus' death on the cross, when he took the blame for all our wrongdoing. Thank you for this picture of wine, which reminds us of Jesus' blood, that means we can be washed clean so that we can love you, talk to you, and follow your ways. Lord, as we eat this bread and drink this wine, please help us to be truly thankful for Jesus, our Saviour. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Clara. And if you're one of the children, you're using one of the sheets this morning, there's the opportunity for you to write a prayer, a little bit like what Clara's just prayed, a prayer saying thank you to God that we could use at the end of our service together. Here's some words that we can use together as we come to take bread and wine. Again, the words that are in italics, please read those out loud together. Here is a loaf of bread. And there's the loaf of bread. It's on the table and it's cut up so that we can each participate in a few minutes. Second thing that we're going to say is, here is a cup of wine. We will remember Jesus. As the bread is eaten, we will remember Jesus. And as the wine is drunk, we will remember Jesus. Jesus said, do this in memory of me. We will remember Jesus. So what we're going to do now, we're going to remember what Jesus did. He took bread and he broke it. And he said, "This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And as we take the bread in a few minutes, we're going to eat as you receive it. And as you eat the bread, let's remember some of those remarkable things about Jesus' death. Death is not the end. The cross has worked. And it reminds us of who Jesus is. Let's do that together. If you're not sure when bread comes whether you should take the bread or not, we invite people who are followers of Jesus to take this bread. If your parents this morning, I trust you've spoken to your children about whether you'd like your children to participate. But we're going to serve this bread, and as we serve it, we're going to eat as it's served. Thank you. And it's very appropriate that we're all here together. Where's Phyllis? Phyllis, where are you? There you are. Phyllis, we're going to welcome you into membership today, into our church family. I know you're part of Chris and Joe's home group as well, and they've given a verse for you for this special day, which I just want to read out to you. It says, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you his peace." So we want to welcome you. We want you to stand up so that people can see you. Okay, we welcome you into our church family. It's lovely to have you as a part of our family. And yeah, round of applause, why not? So it's a special meal in lots of ways, and we want to just finish this morning and just wrap up by just reminding ourselves what we've been looking at this morning. It's a meal that we take seriously, it's a meal that we share together, it's a meal for remembering the death and resurrection of Jesus, and finally, it's a meal that reminds us that Jesus is coming back. And this is what Paul says to us. He says, "You'll be drawn back to this special meal again and again." He says, "until the Master returns." And that's an important thing that we need to remember to make sure that we are in right relationship with God and in right relationship with each other. So as we come to the end of our communion service, we're going to sing two songs. We're going to take our offering as we stand to sing.